You want me to play the intro?
Yeah, you want to do it all? Go ahead.
Why not? Why not? I know Platt doesn't listen to the show, so he doesn't hear it. Like you said, that one podcast that wasn't on. And you played it at the beginning. He was like, this is the first time I've heard the chair shot intro. You guys got a lot of chairs at the beginning. What the fuck? Fucking dude. All right. Here we go.
Seat. Chair. Cold steel. Surprisingly more versatile than just a seat. Put them all together, and you get one hard-hitting hell of a night.
Look at the size of that chair, Ben. That's like getting hit with a billboard.
Look at the chair. Look at the shape of the chair. John Cena's face just splat that steel chair at the hands of Randy Orton.
There's a chair across two chairs, and he powerbombing through the chair.
Curb stomp out of the chair.
Look out here.
It's a concerto.
Welcome to the Chair Shot Radio Network.
The chair shot!
It's not paranoia! It's the O's! Oh!
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Chair Shot Radio. My name is PC Tunney. I am your commissioner and the commissioner of thechairshot.com. I am joined, as always, by my associates in alcohol. I'm going to mix it up today, and I'm going to start off with our MVP, Mr. Velvet Pipes himself. He's real. It's real. The real Christopher Platt.
Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back. Thank you kindly. I'm pumped up, gentlemen. I don't care what WWE has going on. I know we've got some nondescript pay-per-views to get out the way, but I am excited. We, ladies and gentlemen, we are officially booking our flights this week to New Orleans for April WrestleMania. So it's going to be official like a ref's whistle, baby, and I'm excited about it. Ladies and gentlemen listening, thank you for tuning in. Have no fear. Your MVP tis here.
The royal enunciation of the third party, very, very possibly most important party of the podcast, is coming. But before we get to that, Mr. Platt, when you say we are booking, who would we be? Because, folks, we just have to tell you, myself, the commissioner, and the man not to be mentioned yet but soon to be mentioned are not going to be at WrestleMania this year. So, Platt, can you run down a list of thechairshot.com's finest that you know plan on attending WrestleMania in New Orleans?
Well, I know there's a lot of shakeup and turmoil when it comes to that, but I do know Big Rick of Attitude of Aggression. Big Dave. Can we edit that, please? And thank you. Can we edit that without, man? I got number love for Dave. I know Big Dave. I appreciate it. You're not going to edit it, asshole.
We'll see how the podcast
but Big
goes.
Dave, hold up. Fair enough. But I know Big Dave and his better half from Attitude of Aggression, I know they're going to be down there. I do think Big Rick from, 2MB, he's going to be there as well. And of course,
2MB Band Podcast.
Yes. And of course, yours truly, the main event, the icon, Mr. Christopher Platt, and his better half, Miss Amber, or also known as the greatest tag team, Cramber. We're going to be in the house for WrestleMania festivities.
I don't know about
year.
That, dude.
I do. I just said it. Like, I literally just said it. Like, literally. The words just came out of my mouth. Like, just now.
You guys should be the realest tag team ever. Cramber.
I like it. The realest tag team ever. The realest tag team in the room. Bada boom. How you doing?
Okay. You want to take that?
Yes. My name is Christopher Platt, and I'm a cool-ass dude and a real-ass dude, and you can't teach that. That right there is Amber Rochelle, and she's got double D's, and you can't teach that. Bada boom, realest team in the room. How you doing? Since it's up for grabs now. I mean, I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
I don't know what you're doing. I think you're calling out everybody, or if you're calling out me and DP, because we're the greatest tag team never. We don't feud. We're never. It didn't even happen. But we're great. We're the greatest ever. That never happened. So don't go challenging us. You know, maybe take a run at Dave, who you like to call Rick, apparently, and Gator, who you like to call Slater, I guess. I'm not really fucking sure, but don't be throwing your shade over here, or you're going to be getting an album called, like, Lemonade or something like that, okay? So don't bring the noise to the greatest tag team never.
Give me a hell yeah!
Never ever. Never ever.
Really?
Really? God damn it. We've been drinking tonight already. At least Platt and I have. Damn it, Dan. Just play. You know what I want you to play. Just fucking play.
Whoa. Man. You got to introduce the man. Come on now.
That's the argument. I was going to after what you've been drinking. After what you've been drinking.
All right.
Drink it in, man.
That's the thing. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Fuck you, I'm drunk. Pour my beer down the sink. I got more in the trunk. Our designated driver this evening, manning the control. Ladies and gentlemen, the chair shot architect himself, DPP. It's him!
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have some decorum, please?
Please. Somebody needs to keep this ship righted, for God's sakes. I guess that's my job for tonight, right? Your architect. I'm getting tugboat steam over there. Jesus Christ. What the hell is happening today? We're starting an hour late.
Hey, man, listen. You can't do gavel noises or police sirens with a black man on the line, dude. I'm just going to get freaked the fuck out.
It's a fucking tugboat!
No, I heard a gavel. I know a gavel. When I
yeah, you did hear a gavel.
Yes, I heard a gavel.
It means the sentencing's in order.
Yes. Well, and I'm square, so, yeah, I mean, and I'm scared of the gavel.
That's the sound of the police! That's the sound of the beast!
There's nothing scarier in the world as a black man, than having a police officer pull up behind you. They don't even have to play the siren, man. Dude, I'm pulling into the mall one day, and a cop pulls up behind me. All full disclosure, man. I'm riding dirty. My tags were expired. I'm just being honest, okay?
The government is breaking your audio right up here, Plaid. You have to start over.
See what check the door. You better check the front door.
See what I mean? See what I mean? I think we got both locks on. Good.
Oh my god.
I got the club on my steering wheel right now. I feel pretty goddamn secure.
Well, you should feel pretty goddamn secure, man. Thank you, Whitey. I'm not even going to finish my story because you see the Illuminati is messing up the signals, man. So I'm not even going to finish my story, man. Yeah, for our one black listener out there, you know what it is, man. And thanks for listening.
Hey, if that one guy wants to get a hold of you, where can you find
us? Y'all know we have monthly meetings, man. What you talking about? He knows.
Kenny already knows where to find you. What are we drinking this week?
Yeah,
this thing's getting off the rails in a hurry, isn't it?
Let me say this. I'm drinking red wine, as always. And Big Dave, Attitude of Aggression, I love you, man. I apologize. Blame the alcohol, man. Blame it on the alcohol.
Well, now I can't edit it out. I love you.
Now Rick thinks you don't like him.
Oh, actually, here's what I should do. I should edit it out. And then this whole time when you're talking about it, he won't know what the fuck you're talking about. Why is he saying he loves you? What did he do?
Maybe we won't meet up with him at WrestleMania. Like, you got sick at the hotel and we had to stay back. And we got this case up here and we couldn't only get two. I don't know what to tell him anymore, but he's going to be there.
That's my Jewish brethren, man. Don't you dare do that. Don't you dare do that. That's my Jewish brethren.
So is Aesop, and you hate him.
Well, that's different. Yes. That's different. I respect people. I respect Jewish gentlemen with talent and women with talent.
Wow.
Oh, so cool. Mazel tov. It right, does I'm take me down whole... in the face, man. I'm just saying.
I'm drinking a whole lot of IPAs this week. And DPP, let's inform everybody what's going on the podcast. Ta-da. Well, it's the big show. We're going to review Elimination Chamber. Ring the bell.
Oh. That was easy. It's a short sheet. It's not quite big show sheet.
I mean preview. Welcome to Not Our Best Show.
Well, yeah, brother.
That's bound to happen. What are we, 7 deep? 8 deep?
This is Chairshot Radio number 8. All right, I think we can recover. Let's get into a big thing that is happening at Elimination Chamber. It's going to be the introduction of Ronda Rousey for what I'm hoping is into television from here until WrestleMania. Do you guys think that we will actually see her every week, every other week? How often do you think we're going to see her after this contract signing that's going to happen at Elimination Chamber, Mr. Platt?
That's an interesting question, PC, because this is my fear with Ronda Rousey. Because the more that they show Ronda Rousey, this is the big secret, man. I'm just going to say it. I'm not saying it. I'm just saying it. I'm going to say it. She's not very likable. She's just not. So the more she talks, the more you realize how unlikable she is. And if the rumors are to be believed that she's going to have some sort of program going with Stephanie, I don't know what, you know, maybe Stephanie and Triple H, that's what we're hearing with Ronda and the tag team of her choice. I don't know what that's going to happen. But, yeah, I think less is more with Ronda Rousey, man. It's kind of the law. What is it? The law of diminishing effects or some crap like that. I said it totally wrong, but blame the wine. But I feel like less is more with Ronda. She's probably going to be on all the Raws before Mania because they want to pop a rating and get people excited for the event. But I really think that less is more. The less time she's actually in the ring, maybe they can do some video Rocky III-esque montages with her training and getting ready for the fight. But I don't think that's a good form for her, because the more you give her a mic and let her talk, the less likable she's going to become, because she's just not a very likable person.
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I mean, odds are we're going to see her probably almost every week. I would imagine there's probably going to be a couple weeks where, you know, she's not on TV or whatever, but you got to give her some time with Stephanie and build this thing up. I kind of assume the same as you that's where they're going. They're not going to have her in a title match, and they're probably going to build to that Rousey versus Charlotte, you know, whatever they're going to do with the Four Horsewomen thing at SummerSlam or somewhere down the line, but it's not going to happen at WrestleMania. And we're going to get some kind of tag match if we're going to have, you know, whoever's going to be in that. If it's going to be Seth Rollins, if it's going to be like somebody like The Rock coming back, you know, they got to start building that too. And he's going to have to make an appearance or two if they're going to have somebody, you know, special like that. So, you know, they got to book her with somebody at this point, because we know, you know, maybe she could talk a little bit, but she's going to be rusty out there. It's not the same as being in UFC. You know, it's quite different, and she's going to need some help. You know, give her a little bit of a mouthpiece. I mean, hell, Paul Heyman would be awesome with her, but I doubt that's where they're going with anytime soon. So yeah, I expect to see her a lot for a short while there. Well, after she signs this contract. And then maybe, you know, like you said, take a little time off, you know, here and there. But it's, you know, WrestleMania's coming up, man. It's not too far away. So there's not many Raws left. So you're going to have to get a lot on her so that she can have a reason to watch her WrestleMania.
So just real quick, DP, I apologize, PC, but gun to your head, man. If it is that mixed match challenge, who is the guy that they're going to put with Ronda? Because, I mean, I'm under the assumption that The Rock's not going to be there, because if that was the case, they'd be hyping it up by now because it's The Rock. So I could see a scenario with Braun, with Seth, or even a Kurt Angle. So who do you think, gun to your head, is going to be in that position?
I could see it being Kurt Angle. That's not a bad idea, because the whole angle with Angle, no pun intended, with you know, her and Stephanie and Triple H, and probably over, you know, being the, you know, general manager of Raw. But I kind of think it's going to be Seth Rollins, because he's not going to be in the world title match right now, and he's going to need something to do. And every guy he's supposed to wrestle has been, got injured, so I got to go with Seth Rollins.
That was PC. Yes,
I know. I was getting there as I take another sip of my IPA. I don't always drink IPAs, but when I do, I give excellent opinions on Ronda Rousey. So, well,
when you here, do, you give us dead air. So there's that. So thanks.
Is my storyline for Ronda Rousey?
Ooh, you gonna book it? Can we do our segment?
I'm gonna book it, actually.
It's our King Booker segment.
I just want everybody to know out there in podcast land, in the Chair Shot Radio universe, who wants to walk with Chair Shot Radio? That I drank my beer with my pinky out there for Booker. King Booker. All right. Indeed. Put the segment.
Leave us.
You got it. Here we
Leave
go.
Leave us.
Ronda Rousey is obviously going to be in that tag match against, hopefully, Hunter and Stephanie. I'm hoping The Rock decides to put some time aside. If not, I would rather have Kurt Angle than Seth Rollins, just to be on the record. But I believe Ronda's path will be to defeat Asuka at SummerSlam and then to lose that very title, which she wins, back to Charlotte at the next WrestleMania. That's me booking it.
You said it like
Tell me you did not just say that.
Exactly. Like, it was so official. And you felt so confident saying it. Like, I guess.
Oh, speaking of.
This is about the time of year that WWE starts to listen to me.
No, fair enough.
It's true. It's true. It's damn true.
Oh, it's true. It's damn true.
I have the t-shirt to prove it.
So is that why stock prices drop after Mania?
They stop listening to the show, brother. Yeah.
Exactly. They listen to us to what's going up to WrestleMania. WrestleMania.
WrestleMania.
WrestleMania?
I thought I'd say it three times. What kind of glitch you got going on over there in your fucking IT?
Got a little reverb. Got a little reverb going on. WrestleMania.
WrestleMania. Down in Nollins. No. Don't be there. Christopher Platt. Big Rick from Attitude of Aggression. Oh, I mean Big Dave. Sorry, Big Dave. Ooh, my man. Silverdome. We're at the Silverdome. We're at the Superdome, brother.
Well, let me tell you something, brother.
Hold on, dude.
Yeah, I don't know about that, dude.
I don't know about that, dude.
No, I really don't know about that, dude.
Oh. Who's that dude?
Hey, Platt, after the podcast, remind me Goldberg, okay?
Okay, fair enough. I'm writing it down.
All right, let's go to our next topic.
Delete! Delete!
Ladies and gentlemen, Matt Hardy versus Bray Wyatt. DP, I'm going to start with you. Matt Hardy, V1, has clearly turned into V3-point-whatever-the-fuck-weird-it-is, a woke universe. You talk to me about... Talk to me. Just talk to me about this. Just delete. Listen. What is this?
Delete. 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 Delete.
Oh, my God.
Wonderful.
Sounds like excellent.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
You know, they really, you know, much to, I don't know who's getting the joke out of this thing, but this whole Wyatt and broken Matt Hardy thing is just not working. This is, you know, it started off interesting and it's just gone completely downhill. And they got rid of this thing way too early by having that match at the 25th anniversary of Raw, then kind of threw it away and then tried to keep it going for some reason. So, you know, I don't know. I think they just need to get done with it and just be over with this thing. At this point, we talked about this PC too, you know, that, you know, why not have them join forces? You know, I mean, at this point, it'd probably be better off having them join forces because I don't know. This whole broken thing, woken thing isn't really getting over right now with the WWE Universe. They don't care about it anymore. I think it's run its course in TNA and they need to do something a little different with it. And it's just not, right now, it's not clicking.
I couldn't agree with you more, DP. I think you're totally correct. I think it's totally stale. Let me ask this question to CP, and then I want you to follow up afterwards, okay? What if you extend this feud for a long time? And I don't mean that the fact that it's always going to be a feud, but you let them come together again, but then you let them go apart again. Like, let this thing be really long. Don't we always talk about the longer the build, the better the payoff? What could be Matt Hardy's last favor to wrestling? To finally get Bray the motherfucking Wyatt over. Let this run its course. Let these guys wrestle for a long time until we're like, oh, damn, they're wrestling again. I want to see this. What are they going to do different this time? They just had a great match. Oh, my God. They've been wrestling every Raw for 20 straight weeks. This is the 9th pay-per-view they've wrestled each other. Let it culminate at next year's WrestleMania. Let them feud for like 16, 17 months. What?
That has run its course, man. And what I mean by that is Bray Wyatt getting over. And it's a damn shame because Bray is such a talent, man. He really is. And they really struck iron with him or struck gold with him. And he really could have been something. But I think he's, pun intended, I think he's broken. And I think he's broken beyond repair at this point. Now, as far as dragging out this feud, I like where you're going with that, PC. But my issue is, number one, WWE, there's continuity issues from week to week, man. So I don't think they could put together a coherent storyline for a year and make it make sense and make it compelling. Number two, you also got to understand, man, we've been conditioned for the past 20 years, man, as humanity, man. We have the attention span of a raisin. So are they really going to be able to captivate us for a year? And are we even able at this point in time to be able to be captivated with one storyline for an entire year? And I don't think we are at this point, man. And shout out to Bray. He's a hell of a talent, but I think too much damage has been done. You know what he reminds me of? My hip-hop heads, the one of you guys that are listening, you'll remember this, man. You remember back in the late 90s when Cannabis first came on the scene, and everybody was so excited about him because he was just rapping his ass off. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. And he was just rapping his ass off, and we're like, oh, my God, he's the next one. He's going to change the game. Blah, zah, this, blah, zah, that. And then his album dropped, and it was a complete flop. And then every time you heard his voice after that, it was like, ugh, or cue the crusty sound effect. And that's kind of where Bray is right now, man. And it's no fault of his. He's extremely talented, but that's where we're at right now. DP, you clearly seem to be in favor of the idea, so.
Well, that's just because I love Matt Hardy. I love Matt Hardy version one, though, you know, with the old keyboard clicks and him and Shannon Moore going down the ring together, you know, all that good stuff. But.
Yeah,
you know,
fun facts. Matt Hardy's favorite food is fish sticks. Yeah, that was cool.
Yeah.
Preheat the oven for 5 minutes. Turn to 425 and set it for 12 more minutes. Add tartar sauce. Matt Hardy's favorite meal. Fish sticks.
And just to say, if you're over 12 and you're still eating fish sticks, you've done this whole life thing wrong. You need to be deleted, okay? Aww. I'm not saying, I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's right. I don't eat fish, so, you know. But I'm a big fan of long feuds. I want that to happen. I really do. I don't know if they can, but it just wouldn't, I don't think it would work with these two guys anyway. And they've they've kind of already, you know, jumped the shark with it by having them have a match on the 25th anniversary of Raw and already having some matches that just didn't work and didn't get over, and they're not doing anything different. Some of those with the long feuds, I like to see them build to a couple matches where they're not just having these throwaway matches together. Have them in a tag match. Have them just, you know, have a backstage altercation or do a run-in on their other matches. They've done it a little bit, but it's just the whole thing isn't clicking. There's something that's missing in this whole thing that just isn't working, and I don't think extending it at this point is going to do anything, and I agree with you, Christopher Platt. I think we all agree that Bray Wyatt's just been so broken at this point that it's going to be hard for anybody to get him over, and I don't see Matt Hardy being the one at the end of this thing to be the one to get him all the way over.
He's... At any point during the best of seven, was it, between Sheamus and Cesaro, did you guys think that this is just enough and this just ain't going to come to anything? Just a yes or no.
Well, the difference is those were good matches, though. They were at least good matches.
I feel like if this gets extended into something that you forget, like, Jeff Hardy is waiting to come back. Like, we can get them all together for some reason, and then another split apart to another storyline that culminates in a whole feud that lasts a long time. This is an ability to stretch out a storyline and have something that actually pays off at the end, as opposed to this jump and jump and jump that we're used to, this 50-50 booking bullshit where you just go to the next guy and then you kind of get over and he kind of gets over. Like, here we can actually keep two guys together and add more to the storyline and make something actually good out of it, which is Bray Wyatt, a guy who can work in the ring, who can talk, but let's get his character over, because right now it's been stagnant for 2 years.
I understand exactly what you're saying, man, and you make a good point, but, dude, Jesus Christ himself, the whole book of Revelations could have been convoluted and written with the whole purpose to get Bray Wyatt over. Okay, and Jesus Christ himself could come back to earth for the sole purpose of not saving humanity, but getting Bray Wyatt over. And Jesus Christ himself could do the job to Bray Wyatt, and he still wouldn't get over.
He buried me with the biblical reference, son of a bitch!
it's just, he's too far gone at this point, man. I don't know what they could do at this point. Unless they want to turn him face. That might be interesting, and then we can see where we go for there. Because, I mean, the Fireflies and stuff like that, that's face activity. But, I just feel like Bray is just too far gone at this point, man, for anything he does to matter. He's where feuds go to die.
I would love to see it, though. I would love to see him try. I mean, I'm not against them trying it. To me, it just feels like it's not clicking. But if they can get it going, and if they can bring Jeff back, and they can get something like that going, I'm definitely all for it. I mean, I'm not disagreeing at all. The whole thing that they're doing right now isn't clicking. If they start making some differences, making some changes, they can easily do it. They could easily do it, and it could be interesting.
All right, just wanted to get some good run on Bray Wyatt there. I know we've been kind of down on him. We all enjoy his ring work, but we just wanted to get him less stale and stagnant. So let's move on. Asuka versus Nia. Nia, an opportunity to secure her spot at WrestleMania against Alexa Bliss. Let's not talk about the result of this match. Let's talk about the fact that Nia wins, and is Asuka still challenging Alexa for this title, or do you guys think that Asuka is actually going to end up against Charlotte?
Oh, I don't see... Well, Charlotte, I don't see them moving that around. Boy, that's tough to call, because we don't know what's going to happen with the women's title. You know, are they going to do something different at with the Elimination Chamber match? I have to say Asuka's got to move over to SmackDown almost, because who the hell else are you going to have on SmackDown challenge Charlotte for the title? That at this point is credible enough to make it a WrestleMania-worthy match. I guess that's my question.
I agree, but I literally have no idea what they're going to do now. That's why I want them to get these bullshit pay-per-views out the way, man, so that we can stop muddying up the waters and just get to the getting, which is the WrestleMania build. I have no idea. Because in my head, you know, I'm thinking, okay, they've got to go Asuka Charlotte because that's the money match at this point. But they've given me so much time to, again, be in my head and just think and think and think and rethink and rethink and unthink and rethink and unthink and go back and think and then think some more. And now I'm thinking in my head, well, I'm trying to put myself in Vince's shoes. So if I'm Vince, if I'm a 70-year-old white guy, do I want Asuka on SmackDown? Even though it makes the most sense, but do I want two Asian enigmas with world titles on SmackDown? And I don't know if he wants to go that route. I don't know if he would go that route. So I honestly, I have no idea what the hell they're going to do at this point, man. I really don't, what they're going to do with the women. And it's a damn shame because these women have been busting their asses for the last 2 years, and they deserve better on the road to WrestleMania.
Is there any chance that Nia's path is to the Andre the Royal Giant Memorial Battle Rumble to win that?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to do men versus women. I just don't think they want to open up that can of worms.
We have the mixed match challenge. We have Becky Lynch versus James Ellsworth. I mean,
well, that's different. James Ellsworth doesn't have balls or a chin, so that's different. I didn't catch that last line.
He's a recent NWA title challenger.
Please, let's not open up that can of worms. Please, PC, let's not open up that can of worms. Please, and thank you.
Well, you know, and the next question is.
What's the next question? Are you ready for Bash at the Beach 89?
Well,
sorry, that was the NWA theme music.
I was waiting for the music. if Asuka and Charlotte is going to be the SmackDown, let's just say that's the SmackDown match, what do you put for the Raw Women's Title match? Who gets that match? Is it going to be Alexa versus Nia Jax? So that she, even though she loses this match, she's still going to get a title shot?
Yeah, what else could you do?
Could Asuka's streak end?
No, it's way too early. I can't way imagine they do too it, early.
They had Brock Lesnar beat The Undertaker for no shit good reason on, you know, at WrestleMania, so they could do anything they wanted to.
What if Alexa comes out and costs Asuka her winning streak by getting Nia into the match because she doesn't think she can beat Asuka, so that Nia is there to help her win and retain her title? So then Nia goes over both of them, holds the title the whole summer, loses it to Rousey, and then Charlotte by that time is back over on Raw and wins the title at the next WrestleMania, therefore completing my storyline in. Tell me you did not just say that.
Everybody got that? Good.
What if, Titus O'Neil becomes heavyweight or universal champion? Like, I can make up
comments. I'm talking about things that could actually happen.
I can make up convoluted storylines as well, man. You know, it's not that hard.
Just tell me, what are you going to do when it happens?
Santino Marella comes back, man, and he wins the Universal, the WWE World Heavyweight, the Women's, and the Tag Team titles, and he doesn't even have a partner. Wakaka, and he gets some vibranium in his neck to strengthen it up, and that's how this all occurs. Wakanda, my bad.
Did you? I tried to fire you last week, goddammit. What are you still doing here? That's the one we want.
Well, she's a little cuter, but, you know, I give better cuts.
Little. Man, high regard.
This is a perfect for Plato. This is a perfect segue because they dropped Cruz from Apollo Cruz.
They did.
I can't use the word I want to use, but it starts with an R, and it rhymes with sharded, or she sharded. That's what it rhymes with. That's how I feel about that.
I don't understand.
I'll explain it to you later. Perhaps you're part of that she sharded crowd, apparently, because I think Dan gets it.
Well, I'm kind of edumacated, so, you know.
Yeah. Easy there, college boy.
Eyes read goods.
Titus and Apollo getting a title shot against the Bar. Any chance that the Bar are not champions moving into WrestleMania?
We are the Bar!
Maybe not heading into WrestleMania necessarily, but definitely not out of this match. I mean, I don't see Titus Brand winning anything right now. I think they're just kind of treading water until we get to the whatever the hell they're going to do at WrestleMania. Probably some, you know, 10 tag team turmoil kickoff show shit. I don't know. No idea.
I could see a scenario where Team Titus wins this and then the Bar gets it back and then they have some sort of blow off, like you said, the 10 team schmaz at Mania. But I'm on record as a saying that nothing of consequence is going to happen from this pay-per-view, so I got to stick with that.
There you go. We like our tag teams.
We like our tag names.
All right, we got two things left to talk about on the pay-per-view here. We have both Elimination Chambers, right? Let's start off with the women's first ever Elimination Chamber. Alexa's going to be defending that title against Mickey, Sasha, Bailey, Sonya, and Mandy. Hi, Mandy. How you doing? Just saying hi. Wondering how you been.
Yes, because that's how you get chicks. Yeah, that's how you get chicks. You profess your love over the internet. That works well.
I'm just saying hi. How's it going? I think Mandy's gonna win, but who do you guys think is gonna win the Elimination Chamber?
Oh, you think Mandy's gonna win?
Hey Mandy, how's it going?
Really?
If everything's going well. Continued success.
Really?
Hey.
Really?
How you doing?
Really?
Easy time. Yeah. That's enough of you. I think this is going to be a really good match. I think they're going to go, you know, as much as they might take it easy, I think you're going to see a couple good spots because it's the first ever women's match, and you know Sasha Banks is going to want to do something. I see her taking a jump off one of the top of the pods, you know, some kind of...
Yes, she is.
All right, take it easy.
Hey-o! Hey-o!
Oh, boy.
I don't know about you, but my peenie just went, huh?
Went from 6 to noon real quick, y'all.
What?
So, you know, I see this one being really good, but I don't see Alexa Bliss losing. I see her losing after said Elimination Chamber match when Carmella comes to cash in Money in the Bank and takes the title from Alexa Bliss. And gives a short title run, because I don't imagine her holding it to WrestleMania, but I think this is a perfect opportunity because they like to, you know, Vince McMahon loves to do this shit. Just like James Ellsworth climbing the ladder in the first women's ladder match, that she's going to have Carmella come out and cash in Money in the Bank. I see it happening.
As much as I would love to see a heel Sasha versus Asuka, and they get 15 minutes at Mania to tear the house down, I don't see that happening. Again, I'm beating a dead horse here. Like, this is the dead horse, and I'm beating it. Nothing of consequence is going to happen at this pay-per-view. And quite frankly, Alexa Bliss has done a really good job as women's champion, and she deserves to walk into WrestleMania as the women's champion. So I think by hook or by crook, she's going to retain here.
Do you see this as the... finally, Sasha Banks turning heel. They kind of tease it a little bit and leading to Bailey and Sasha wrestling each other.
I do, but unfortunately, I see that going on the pre-show, which means I'm not even going to be in the house to see it. But I'm just saying. Yeah. I learned that from Dallas, bro. You don't get to the stadium at 4:00 and have to sit there through a work shift's worth of wrestling. You get there about a half an hour before the main card starts. You find your seats, and then you go from there.
I apologize. I'm just highly distracted by a very, very illicit tweet by Andrew Snowflake Balls.
Oh, boy.
Direct message. But you're able to see it. DP, you're not. Let's move on, because I can't deal with Andrew Snowflake Balls. Like, just profanity. Ridiculousness. That's disgusting, you Keith Hernandez motherfucker.
Yeah, you called him Keith Hernandez. pop.
We'll inform DPP after the show. Let's move on to the men's elimination chamber. Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, The Miz, who's going to be starting with two others, Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, John Cena, and your last entrant into the elimination chamber will be none other than... No, it's going to be Elias.
I don't have that. Oh, yeah, I do.
Who wants to walk with Elias?
Well, there you go. Let's start with Platt. DP seems confused.
I think you are too, man. I think you missed a couple of people from that Elimination Chamber. Also appearing at the Elimination Chamber is Deputy Dog, Yogi Berra, Bob Uecker, which is weird, Pete Rose, Carl Lewis,
hey, yo,
Usain Bolt.
Let's go get a picnic of biscuit.
Odell Beckham. Yogi. Yeah, Odell Beckham, Muggsy Bogues, Spud Webb, Mahmoud Abdul-Rauf, Jose Canseco.
I have breaking news, Christopher Platt.
Yes.
I have to announce to you.
Jesus Christ.
Is somebody in here? That I will never retire!
Woo! And the Nature Boy! Woo! Buddy
Woo!
Nice.
And Scott Hall and Kevin Nash!
Hey, yo.
And Lord Alfred!
Consideration.
Let's have a commercial.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. Thechairshot.com. Always use your head. God damn, that's a beautiful sounding voice.
Hey, yo.
That, not so much.
Oh, that's not mine, so I don't mind.
He almost back sounds as drunk as I am.
Back to the Elimination Chamber talk. DP, you had a thought. Let's fire away. Back from commercial break.
I had a thought, and now it's gone.
There you go.
I imagine that John Cena is going to be the second last out of here because he won the match against The Miz to determine who was going to be first to start the Elimination Chamber. And obviously, if you have John Cena start as one of the first three, then that whole match was worthless. And if you have him come out first in the pods, that's basically worthless too. So I see him coming out, you know, second to last to Elias. I see Braun Strowman throwing everybody through a pod once everybody is out of there and completely destroying the Elimination Chamber match, you know, itself from the inside out. But does anybody else see anybody coming out of this match besides Roman Reigns, I guess, is the big question.
Well, kiss these hands. I just wanted to say that. That's.
I like that.
WWE superstar Braun Strowman, and I'm not finished with singing. Never made it as a wild, yeah. I couldn't cut it as a guy in a sheep mask, so I shaved this out of my head. I went to Raw and kicked a bunch of ass, and this is how I got over.
If you want to listen to that, folks, just go to Braun Strowman's Twitter and look at the only tweet he's ever retweeted ever. It's fucking fantastic. You should watch the video with it. We've played it before. Let's talk about that real quick before we go into our predictions for the pay-per-view. How did you guys feel when you went back and watched that video? Because I thought that was amazing. And then just talk about what you feel the future holds for Braun Strowman. I'm going to start with Platt and DPP. Wrap that topic up.
Well, that video itself was awesome, and I'm totally here for Braun Strowman. I'm all the way here for Braun Strowman. I'm so here for Braun Strowman, ladies and gentlemen, that you guys don't know this. The Chairshot brethren know this, but you all don't know this. I actually received my Get These Hands shirt in the mail a couple of weeks ago, and if you're going to be down in New Orleans at the Silver Dome, brother, for WrestleMania. Or how do I say it? WrestleMania? WrestleMania?
WrestleMania.
Mania. I say Mania. Mania. Yeah. I say Mania.
WrestleMania.
You're going to see your man, the main event, CD, Christopher Platt, Mr. Velvet Pipes, rocking his Get These Hands shirt. And, I mean, thank you. The ceiling is the roof when it comes to Braun Strowman, man. I mean,
you subbed Lonzo out early in the first and third quarter, early in the first and third quarter to get him run with the second unit, and then that unit played very well together. Can you talk a little bit about the thought process on that and why you think that unit works so well?
Yeah, his dad was talking, so I took him out early. I'm just kidding.
Is Braun Strowman going to play for the NBA? Well, ladies and gentlemen, he's into his center for the Los Angeles Clippers. I mean, Detroit Pistons.
Shout out to Peter Tesh, though, man. Anytime you get Peter Tesh into the show, that's a win. So there's that. I don't know what they're going to do with Braun, man, but I'm excited. I said this a few weeks ago, man, and it bears repeating. Oh, can you hear me now? John Tesh, my bad, not Peter Tesh. I'm mixing up John Tesh with Peter Tosh, and they couldn't be any more different.
I think it's Daniel Tosh.
No. I'm talking about the reggae star. You would think it's... Oh, Jesus Christ.
Pop for that one.
Oh, we threw him off his game. I got him.
Let's just transition into the predictions.
We need
my question for you.
More chair shot, man.
God.
Just one. God damn. I'm done, man. I'm good. I'm done, man. I don't give a shit about this pay-per-view. Y'all do y'all projections. I give less than two shits, man. Y'all do y'all projections. I'm out.
Oh, I threw the headphones off. Holy shit. I can't believe it. We have completely broken Christopher Platt on this episode of Chair Shot Radio. It has finally happened, folks. We're just he's gonna move over to Potter's War and he is done.
But our shenanigans are cheeky and fun.
Yeah. I mean, his shenanigans are cruel and tragic.
All right, we're gonna jump into our Elimination Chamber predictions. Hopefully Platt will join us along the way at some point.
Get yourself together, Platt.
Ladies and gentlemen, can I have some decorum, please?
You know, the guy goes 1 week without eating a fucking cheeseburger on the podcast, and he can't even last fucking 30 minutes.
You fucking fucks, man.
My question to you two is, do you think that there will be any physical contact at the Ronda Rousey contract signing, and where in the card will this land? Let's start with DP, give Platt a second to recuperate.
I don't think there's going to be any physical altercation at all. I think it's going to be just straightforward. I'm going to put this in between the two. Well, they're probably going to start with an Elimination Chamber match. So I'll put it right before the main event Elimination Chamber match.
You know, the WWE has been doing contract signings since 1865. As a matter of fact, I think their first contract signing was Abraham Lincoln versus Stephen A. Douglas. And there's always physicality in the contract signings. So
I think I'm going to skip the movie tonight, Abe.
So there's going to be physicality in the contract signing. That's just how this works. Shout out to Stephen A. Douglas, by the way. I mean, you know, fuck him, but shout out to him simultaneously. I don't know what's happening here, man. I'm done, man. I'm flustered. This dude said Daniel Tosh, man.
I have no idea who that is.
The chair shot radio episode that everybody hates and everybody remembers.
This is going to be good. This is good. This is going to be our highest rated show. Book it. Book it. Highest rated right here. Highest rated show.
Two words. Phenomenal.
All right. Thanks, Rome. Book it. Rack them.
Rack them.
Rack them. Oh, wait. I'm getting a fax. I'm sorry. The fax is blank. Oh, wait. I'm being told to turn the fax over. There's a fax on the other side. It says, Christopher Platt, who wins, Hardy or Wyatt? Rack them. Shout out to SoCal. Care. No cow.
My peeps. Who cares, man? I say broken wins, or woken rather, wins this, but I mean, who cares, man? They've done nothing with this feud. It is what it is. Eh.
EP, Awoken or Wyatt?
Woken, Matt Hardy gets his win back so that they're one to one and they get to have their rubber match at WrestleMania, probably during the kickoff.
You sound like Eddie Murphy doing buckwheat on Saturday Night Live. I'm just saying.
Woken for what? Three times I made it. Woken for nub in all the wrong places. Woken for nub.
I'm buckwheat. Remember me?
Woken wet worry. Gonna win. Woken wet worry. Woken wet worry.
Hi, I'm Woken. I'm sorry. Remember me?
I'm sorry, but Bowfinger is one of the most underrated movies of all motherfucking time. And so is what's the other goddamn? What's the other movie, Dan, we always used to quote? Shit.
Kip Rogers.
It's so bad it was good.
So bad it was good. Norbit.
Norbit was fucking phenomenal.
No, Norbit was just bad.
No, Norbit's good. You keep watching 5 or 6 or 80 times and it gets really good.
If that's, you know, like, say you were stranded on an island and the only movie you had was Norbit.
Norbit.
It's going to get funny. Norbit. It's going to get funny after a while, and then it's going to be bad again, and then it's going to come back, and it's going to be funny.
I'll take Norbit or Cape Fear.
So Bowfinger, though, man, Bowfinger is damn near a classic. It's certainly underrated. So all you guys that haven't seen, go watch Bowfinger.
Oh, that's great.
Steve Martin, Eddie.
When he convinces him that it's all stunt drivers crossing the freeway.
That's really good. Heavenly God.
Y'all got to check that out, man. Steve Martin, Eddie Murphy, at her most deliciousness. Y'all need to check that out, man.
Oh, yeah.
Gotcha, suckers. That's an Chubby appropriate rain. Time to look forward here. Do you guys see Nia Jax earning a spot in the WrestleMania Women's Championship match for Raw? That means Asuka loses her undefeated streak. Yeah, DP, go ahead.
I can't imagine Asuka losing her undefeated streak here. If they're going to have her lose that undefeated streak, it's got to be at a WrestleMania or SummerSlam or something. So I don't see a scenario that Nia Jax wins this match.
I agree, but I could see her sneaking into the title match if for no other reason that these women have been busting their asses all year, and they all deserve to be on the WrestleMania card, and how do you make that happen? You know what I mean? If you're not going to put them all on some smosh pre-show match, how do you make that happen? So I could see a scenario in which Nia is inserted in that match, but I don't see her winning at Elimination Chamber.
Is there any possibility? I'm not saying it's going to happen or not going to happen, but you give it and just say yes or no. You give it a 50% chance or more of having a women's battle royal at WrestleMania. Flat?
No, because we just came off the heels of the Women's Royal Rumble, and that seems like, overkill at this point. So, no, I really don't want to see a men's battle royal at WrestleMania, let alone a women's.
DP, 4 to 6 words or less. Do you see that happening?
No chance in hell. Yeah, I did it in 4. Yeah, brother.
Are you trying to show me up?
Kind of, yeah.
I can name that tune in 5 notes.
I read books, man. I know words. Sometimes I like to use them, man. You know, kiss my ass.
Write it down. Wrestling, name that tune. Next time on Chairshot Radio, episode 9.
And ironically, that's going to be the number of listeners we get.
I was going to say that's going to be the last
episode.
That'll
be a Truman from this week. 8.
baby!
Nice pop.
Men's Elimination Chamber. Roman Reigns, yes. And who's going to make the biggest imprint that isn't going to win the match? Christopher Platt.
Yes, and Elias.
DP?
Pretty good, because I see Elias and John Cena coming out of this. Roman Reigns is going to win it. I see, once again, our boy Braun Strowman making the most impact as he destroys the chamber itself.
Your first three, DP, to start the match, since it's going to be three guys to start. The Miz is obviously one of them. Who's your other two?
Miz, Rollins, and Balor would be my first three.
CP?
So you said the Miz is starting. So Miz, my mama, and Nature Boy Buddy Rogers.
Okay, your first five.
I take my mom.
Your first five, then. Your next two after that.
Okay, your mom and Bob Uecker.
Now WWE superstars first two into the match.
I'll say Miz and John Cena, man. I'll say Miz, then, John Cena, and Finn Bálor. Just so I can name some WWE people.
Rock and roll. I appreciate it. All right. Speaking of rock and roll, we're going to get to our last match here at Elimination Chamber, the first ever Women's Elimination Chamber match. I want you guys to tell me who you think is going to come out on top on this match and how you think this match is going to go, seeing as where are the women going to make their mark inside the chamber, right? This is their first ever time. They're going to use the chamber in this match. Where do they... do they set the spotlight on themselves by using that chamber? Mr. Platt?
How drunk am I? Because I swear we've already covered this in our predictions on the Women's Elimination Chamber.
Drink it in, man.
Is that true?
Fair enough.
I don't think we talked about the match.
Okay, fair enough. We talked about who's gonna win. Alexa.
We had the Asuka and Nia topic about who we thought they were going to face, but I don't think we talked about this match.
All right, whatever, man. It's your journey. I see Alexa Bliss coming out of this. That rhymed. It wasn't intentional. As far as what spots they're going to do, I have no idea what these ladies are going to pull out, man, because they keep surprising me at every single turn. So I really don't know. I'm just going to sit back as a fan and just enjoy and see what they come up with. I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't. But I don't really see a scenario where Alexa Bliss loses this match. And this is why I say that we covered this again, because I kind of remember saying that I would love to see a heel Sasha come out of this and challenge Asuka for the title at Mania and them get 15 minutes. Like, I'm pretty sure I've said all this before. But I don't see a scenario in which Alexa Bliss loses.
I just wanted to talk more about the actual match. I think we talked about Asuka and Nia's future moving forward to WrestleMania. I think that's where that all came into play.
We talked a bit about the match, about how not necessarily what was going to happen out of the match, but just what you could expect to see. We didn't really go into detail about it before, because I mentioned that Sasha Banks, I'm looking for a high spot from Sasha Banks, and that's about as far as we went with it earlier. So, you know, and I almost don't see much more than that, really, because it's going to be their first one. I think they'll use the chamber and throw each other into the cage a little bit, but I don't see anything bigger than that. I think they're going to be a little more cautious because they don't know what to expect necessarily in this match, and it's really not exactly the same as a cage match or the Hell in the Cell like they've had already. This is, you know, the structure's a little different. You can, you know, you're out, when you're outside the ring, they have that flat structure out there that, you know, they don't know how badly that's really going to hurt when they land on it. So I don't see them going too crazy, other than we might see maybe two high spots at the most. And I expect Sasha Banks to be one of those.
I too am waiting on a high spot from Sasha Banks, but she's married and I'm in a loving, committed relationship. So, parameters, yeah. Guys. Parameters. Parameters.
But, all right. As far as predictions go, I've got Alexa Bliss coming out of this one. And then Carmella cashing in right afterwards.
Now that we've talked about Elimination Chamber, let's move into Last Call.
Let's go.
Believe it or not, Jeff Jarrett is moving in to the Hall of Fame, and that is our last call today. Boys, tell me your thoughts and your feelings and your reaction when you heard Jeff Jarrett would be in the Hall of Fame. Have at it.
Play some background music for you. JAFFJARRET. That's Double J, Jeff Jarrett. That's really interesting time that they're going with this with Jeff Jarrett. I mean, now that, you know, he's out of Impact, he's not really running any shows right now. They just had Dixie Carter on WWE and this stuff. And, you know, they're, what does this mean? Does this mean he's going to do this one-time thing, Hall of Fame? Do they think they're going to maybe bring him back a little bit more? I don't know. What do you think about this, Chris?
Well, for starters, man, if you want to hear me elaborate on this a little more, then you need to go back to Thursday's episode of Pod is War, because I really get in-depth on this. Thursdays on Chairshot Radio Network at thechairshot.com. Always use your head. Ring the bell. Thank you kindly. But just to kind of rehash what I was saying, man, the thing about Jeff Jarrett, I mean, number one, he's an upper mid-carder at best. Now, the WWE Hall of Fame is completely arbitrary, and we all know that. So you can, and I mean, just off the numbers alone, you can make a viable case for Jeff Jarrett being in there. I mean, multiple time WCW Heavyweight Champion, U.S. Champion, Intercontinental Champion, Tag Team Champion, TNA Champion, yada, 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 blah, 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 blah. But the thing I find most fascinating about Jeff Jarrett is, number one, he finessed his way back and forth between WWE and WCW and vice versa throughout the Attitude Era. He finessed his way into the WCW World Heavyweight Championship on multiple occasions. Once the Monday Night Wars were over, he finessed his dad, and I'm presuming a few other buyers, into buying into his TNA vision. He finessed TNA getting onto Spike Television. When TNA was floundering, he finessed Dixie Carter into putting some bread into TNA to keep it afloat. Once they performed a coup to get him out of TNA, out of his own company, he finessed some investors, and one of which I believe being Toby Keith, into putting some money into Global Force Wrestling. Then he started finessing people into overpaying for gold, and then lo and behold, he ends up finessing his way back into TNA by hook or by crook and getting Global Force Wrestling on television. Oh, and lest we forget, he also finessed Kurt Angle's wife. And now, all of a sudden, to bring it all full circle, 20 years after allegedly stiffing Vince McMahon for some extra money in order to do the job to China on his way out the door, he's finessed himself into the WWE Hall of Fame. So like I asked on Pod is War, I'm going to ask you gentlemen the same question. Is Jeff Jarrett one of the greatest workers of all time? And it has absolutely, positively nothing to do with his in-ring work.
So he's more of a businessman than he is a wrestler. I mean, I thought he was good in the ring, though. I mean, he was still a good wrestler. I thought he had a lot of good matches in his time in WWE. I didn't watch any of his, any of the TNA stuff, really, because I didn't give a shit about TNA. But I thought the time that he had in WWE, he was really good. I mean, he's had longevity. You know, he's made a name for himself everywhere he went. So I think it's deserving that he's in the Hall of Fame. And you know, whatever happened at the end of his WWE run, I mean, that shit's going to blow over after time. It happens with everybody. I mean, Hulk Hogan came back. He's going to come back again. Bret Hart came back. You know, these guys are all going to come back through. It's just a matter of time. And I guess now's the time for Jeff Jarrett to come back. He's done with his adventures everywhere else. I don't think he's going to... I'm hoping he's not going to try and do another show again, you know, somewhere else. So I'm hoping, you know, that that's kind of... This is kind of it for him, and then he's going to finally go away, I guess.
And, I mean, honestly, if Coco Beware and Pete Rose are in the Hall of Fame, who am I to say that Jeff Jarrett can't be in the Hall of Fame? I will say this, though, Jeff... Stay off that narcotic, brother.
That is true. That is true.
That's good advice for everybody. Stay off that narcotic. That's just sound advice, man. You know what I mean? I mean, come on.
As we close out our Chair Shot Radio WWE coverage and transition into our interview this week, let's go over where you can find us on social media. You can follow us on Twitter at Chairshot Radio. You can check us out at thechairshot.com, of course. Always go to thechairshot.com. Always use your head. You can find me at PC Daily Dozen. DPP.
And it's me, DPP, on Twitter.
And Mr. Velvet Pipes himself.
I'm at The Real C Platt on Twitter.
Okay, folks. It's that time. It's time for Chairshot's interview. And this time we're bringing you an interview from about a month ago when we talked with one of our good friends from the DWI podcast. His name's Max Holiday. He is a Midwest wrestling superstar. We know him from Bruce City Wrestling right here in Milwaukee. He's an amazing guy to talk to. We talk about, I mean, everything under the sun with this guy. We've had him on the show a few times, and we wanted to bring this episode that we just had a month ago to Chairshot Radio so we could introduce him all over the world to everybody that we talk to. We talk about all sorts of different stuff, from bitcoins to toys and Funko Pops, and he's just always entertaining. So we wanted to bring him to you. You could check him out. He has his own podcast. It's called The Hot Pod. He also has another one called The Morning After. Listen to those. Check him out at Holiday Special on Twitter. He is a fantastic guy, and you will grow to love him just as much as we did. So sit back and enjoy Max Holiday from Bruce City Wrestling.
Well, my daddy left home when I was 3, and he didn't leave much to Ma and me. Just this old guitar and an empty bottle of booze.
See, you changed your background.
I was going to say, what do you think? I got a new workstation over here, so I'm mobile. So instead of being behind the bar like I used to, which is, here, I'll show you, actually, a camera. Which used to be right over there. Now I am right over here where all my fucking wrestling shit is.
Max, he wanted to be like you. Look what's over his right shoulder.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see all my Funko Pops. I told you I started a collection.
See that. Very nice. Any particular line, or?
No, not in particular. I've got a few WWE ones. I've got Braun Strowman and Balor and Jared, the list of Jericho, but then the rest are kind of, I don't know, I got Skeletor, and I got Howard the Duck and Darkwing Duck, and I got a few Star Wars. So it's like all over the place.
Oh, no, that's fine.
I seen a group on Twitter. I think it's called the Wrestling... Oh, man, I forget what it was called. It's like Wrestling Club, maybe, or something like that. They do a bunch of giveaways. They had a signed Braun Strowman one. I don't know how they got it.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I'm like, how much stuff does that guy sign? At least not for Karen Angle, that's for sure. Tell me you're recording. That absolutely might have been the funniest thing I've said in a long time.
I'll go in the outtakes one of these days.
Yeah, we'll just keep going here. This is perfect. What have you been up to, champ?
Man, not a whole lot, really. I've actually been enjoying myself. I've had some time off.
I don't think you can say that on a podcast.
Yeah, no, I have had some time off for the holidays, which has been awesome. I got into cryptocurrency.
Is that like Bitcoin?
No, what is that?
Bitcoin.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay.
Whole Bitcoin thing. I got into that like about the middle of December, and so now it's just a new something new to obsess over, I guess.
Are you doing well with it? Are you just biting your teeth right now? Or what's the kind of, like, I mean, I get the overall concept, but I don't really know how to get into it.
Well, I'm actually getting, I've gotten into the altcoins. So Bitcoin's kind of become like the Kleenex of tissue paper or the duct tape of
duct tape.
So when you say Bitcoin, people are like, oh, cryptocurrency. But there's like four right now. There's technically four top well-known cryptocurrencies. That's Bitcoin, Bitcoin Cash, Litecoin, and Ethereum. And I've gotten into the altcoins because in my everyday job, I deal in payments. So when you go to buy something and you swipe your card through a credit card machine, that's kind of what I do. I deal with those. So I discovered an altcoin called Ripple XRP. Ripple is the coin. The XRP is the, I guess, the stock call letters, if you will, stock exchange call letters. And they're getting into the payment solution business. They found a utility for their coin to where they can work with banks. Now, Bitcoin, cryptocurrency, that all kinds of deals with decentralization where there is no bank. So it's just more like a peer-to-peer type of deal where I hand you $20 and you hand him $20 and he hands me $20. You know what I mean? And there's no bank. There's no middleman. There's nobody getting a cut of the fee. What Ripple's doing is they're
running tab.
Yeah. What Ripple's doing is they're working with the banks. The banks work on what's called a SWIFT network now. The quickest way for me to send you guys $150,000 would be literally to drive up to you and take you the money. That is, of course, you know, if you lived in, let's say, Australia. And that would be the fastest way for me to get you that money. With Ripple, they're trying to make it where with their technology, let's say, they can make payment processing in under 4 seconds. So if I can take a picture and send a picture to you on my phone, why can't I send you money and you have the money automatically? Now, if you have like a Chase QuickPay or something where you use Zelle or something like that, it's not the same thing. Whereas, you know, you're in the same general area. I'm talking sending global payments across the world. Like in 2013, I believe I read there was $5.2 trillion being traded globally.
Jeez.
And that was on an old network that takes, you know, days to process fees and everything. Yeah. So it's kind of where I'm at. I've really delved really deep into it. I'm giving you guys all kinds of information I've just read off the internet. It's kind of interesting, but it's where I'm at, man. It's my new obsession.
Just to bring this all back to pop culture, you want to know how I kind of like was, you know, I've knew of it before, but recently heard about Bitcoin.
Huh.
Big Bang Theory episode.
You know, I remember when the stuff came out in like 2008, 9, 12, whatever it was. And it was being used on a platform where you played games and you got the money, you mined it. I had no understanding of it at all. Yeah. I wish I would have paid more attention, though.
And in this episode, Sheldon was smart enough at the time to hold on to it and, you know, mine it and everything else. And he held it over everybody's head now that it was worth, you know, 50,000 a coin or something like that or whatever they were talking about, right?
I think right now it sits I'll bring up my phone because you know they got an app for that. Right now it's sitting at like $15,000 a coin with Bitcoin. $15,000 for one coin.
And it was what, like $7.50 or $10 or something a coin?
Chump change.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like they have like penny stocks on there, like if you will, in the cryptocurrency where you can. They got guys that'll get in there. They'll find one that's got a good technology behind it. They'll buy it at, you know, fractions of a penny. And they'll buy thousands, ten thousands of these coins. The company will do well, and they'll simply going up to $5 a coin, and they're offering it for, you know, tons of money. Like this XRP, the highest it got to is like $3.50 so far. I bought in at $1.30. I found it at 48 cents. By the time I figured out how to get in, it was at $1.30. It got up to 380, made the owner of the company richer than Bill Gates.
Jeez.
Wow.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of stock market into it too, right? Like where you get in and get out and stuff like that.
Yeah. If you're trading like that, you can do that. Absolutely. I mean, you can also buy stuff and hold on to it. Like they say, the whole Ripple thing, it's a buy and hold to like 2020 type of scenario. So, I mean, I don't own a lot. I think I have like 35 coins because I got into it so late, you know, and you're literally buying it at a dollar. I said $1.30. I think $1.30, $2.30, and $2.60 were the three prices I ended up buying in at. So I literally have to hold on to it and wait. But I got in on some other stuff for pennies on the dollar. So I don't know. Maybe one day.
One of them. Yeah, all you need is one to hit, you know?
I just need one to hit. I got a handful. I just need one.
Yeah. Everybody gets that's, one.
That's pretty much what I've gotten into over the whole holiday, you know, season.
Brains and brawn. How about that?
Dumb luck. Let's call it that.
And I always say I'd rather be lucky than good. So I know we've been talking for a little while. Happy New Year. Good Happy to see you again. Absolutely. Thank you very much for coming back on the show. So we just went through the holidays. Now we're talking to Max Holiday. So I have to ask you,
boy.
What was your favorite part over Christmas and New Year's?
Probably, you know, over the holiday season with my family, I have a large family, so it's very busy. We do a lot of traveling over the holiday season. And I mean, I say traveling because I live in Indiana and all of my family lives in Illinois, Missouri. I mean, we're spread out, but majority of them are in Illinois. So we have to do the hour, 2 hour drive, you know, every now and then over the holidays. So there's a lot of that. So I want to say the best time that I had, though, was probably at my sister's on Christmas Day when it was mostly my immediate family. You know, my mom, my dad, my my two sisters, everybody's significant others, the kids. That was probably the best time I had. I got to hang out with my nephew, which I hardly get to see. So he will be a big wrestler one day. He is only like 10 months old. He's like this big. Oh, he's boy. Huge. He's a monster.
He's a legacy.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. I can't wait. Everyone, you see him and you go, he's playing sports. There's no other way around it. But I got the sinking feeling that he's going to be one of those kids that like you see him, you're like, why is he not a linebacker? Why is he not on the field? Because he's sitting there with his nose in the book. He's going to be like a super genius or something. It's just going to be one of those things. It's got this feeling, man. But, yeah, that was probably my favorite part, which is hanging out with family over the weekend, over the holiday. Well, you know, I did the Christmas party thing for my work. And it was my first, like, real Christmas party. Yeah, oh, my God, yeah, open bar. Oh, boy. So they had it at the Metropolitan Club on the 67th floor of the Willis Tower downtown Chicago. So, nice. You know, snazzy place. Had to get dressed up for it. Got a hotel room downtown. It was really nice, a good time. So having a hotel room 3 blocks away from where I was, where the party was, I was like, I'm walking and I'm getting drinks, man. It's open bar. As soon as they opened the bar, it was Jim and Pepsi. That's what I was drinking. Now, here's what I remember. I remember having
that story started like that. Okay, I want to tell you the story, and here's what I remember.
I remember six drinks. Now, mind you, they were cocktails, so you know, whatever. You guys can see the glass. Let's say 8 ounce glass or whatever. She was filling up the last one that I remember. If you guys are visually seeing this, imagine you have an 8 ounce glass. She was filling up Jim Beam, and then she was just sprinkling a little Pepsi on it. And I just looked. Yeah. All right.
That's for color at the end.
Yeah, no, for sure. Oh. I don't remember much past the halfway point of the Christmas party. It got really foggy. Apparently, I took a lot of pictures with people, none of my own. I have zero pictures from the event, but I took a lot of pictures. They took the company Christmas party, and you can find me in the background because I'm like too sweeting it up in the air.
I saw that picture.
Yeah.
Yep.
The last thing I really remember was walking down Clark Street in the middle of the night back to the hotel. Somehow I got to an after party. I didn't know where it was. Come to find out, I was like a mile away from my hotel, so there was more walking involved than I had originally anticipated. And apparently, in my drunken stupor, I had come to the conclusion that there was absolutely no taxis in downtown Chicago at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. So we had to walk back to our hotel room. Oh yeah, I did that.
I told you it would be a great story, everyone.
Those are my two favorite moments from the holiday season so far. So. But yeah, that was a good time. I enjoyed it.
That's awesome. Thanks for the story. We appreciate that. That was excellent. I told everybody, hey, when it starts like that, you're going to get a good story.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to it, but I don't want to eat up all of our time. So yeah.
No. That's okay. We'll get that another time. We always get parts of stories from you. We pick them back up. Keep the people interested, you know. Leave them wanting more. Let's talk a little bit about the wrestling side of things. Anything going on besides Bruce City Wrestling here coming up in the new year for you?
January is actually kind of busy. We got of course, we have Bruce City coming up on Friday. Saturday, I'll be in Lake Station defending the ARW Heavyweight Championship against who I don't know yet. They haven't really released it, so I'm assuming it's going to be like a day of thing. Let's see. Following week, we're back out there for Bruce City doing the benefit show. And then the that show got postponed, so it's not as busy. I got crash tested coming up in February, where I'll be taking on James Storm.
Nice.
I don't know if they released.
Nice.
Okay. But yeah, I got the rough draft of the flyer last night, so that should be released here shortly. Bruce City crash tested ARW. That's what's in the mix for this year so far. Nothing new and exciting just yet. Then again, I haven't done anything in like the past 6-7 weeks. If you notice, my posting has been gone way down, and I've just kind of kept low key. So I haven't really put my name out there as far as, hey, I'm taking bookings either. So, but yeah, that's really what I got going on. Something nice and steady from Bruce City, ARW, and crash tested as of right now.
That sounds great. That sounds excellent. Got to stay moving, right? Got to keep it going as we move along in 2018. Friday, Rise to Honor, a big, gigantic event. It's going to be sold out. If you don't have your tickets already, folks, go to BruceCityWrestling1.com. DP and I have our tickets. You might not even be able to get them anymore. But I want to, before we get to your match, yeah, I want to ask you about two other matches on the card.
Okay, absolutely.
Fans Bring the Weapons. Dysfunction, Shane Douglas, the rematch. I'll tell you what, we were there the last time there was a Fans Bring the Weapons match. Dysfunction was in it. He beat the ever-living hell out of JP. Yep, you remember now, right?
Yeah.
Before you tell me about this matchup and what to expect from Shane Douglas and Dysfunction in this match, Fans Bring the Weapons, what's the best weapon a fan can bring?
Oh, man.
Or some of the best. You're in this match. What do you want the fans to bring?
You know, personally, I always get a kick out of it when someone actually brings a kitchen sink or a sink of some sort. Those are always fun just because it's like, holy Christ, the kitchen sink is actually involved. Anything really. Oh, man. Laser discs. You remember laser discs?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
I've seen those pop up at shows. Those are pretty amazing. Just watching giant CDs get broken over people's heads. The thing is, man, some people can get really dangerous with some of the weapons they bring. Like, they don't get it. It's like, hey, here, use my knife. No. I wrapped up a bat and barbed wire. It's like, listen, dude, listen.
Yeah.
Take the nails out. Because I'm not swinging it at somebody. Man, I don't.
So, like baking pans?
Yeah, I mean, those are cool. Those are all right. Have you guys seen the little? I see this is, it gets into like that really hardcore stuff. Those little like fruit gimmicks where you put them on the table and you like kind of smash your fruit into it. Like, the, I don't know. I'd like to see one of those guys take that to the head. I mean, it's disgusting. Like, they had to pry this thing off of the video. I thought they pried it off the Chinese head with pliers.
I feel like if you were actually in this match. Match like this coming up, right? No, if you were, you'd be saying way less hurtful things for the fans.
Absolutely.
Be like, I think you should bring a pillow and a balloon, yeah, and then, you know, maybe like some Jello.
Fluffy bunny would be nice.
It's always interesting to see what the fans bring. Like, what are they digging out of their attics and closets to bring in? Keyboards are always fun thing to have. I've seen people bring laptops in. Yeah, I mean, I'm assuming they're broke anyways. Why would you be?
Right, I think.
Yeah, I hope so.
Hopefully you wipe the hard drive.
I think so. You know how they do those videos where these assholes go in and they buy like PlayStation 4s or Xbox Ones or whatever, and then they go outside and they smash them?
All right.
I'd like to see some idiot go and buy one of those and then drive directly to a Fans Bring the Weapons match show and then hand that to the wrestler. I would like to know what the wrestler would do. What do you
take it home?
I'd smash it.
Exactly. Okay, for instance, I was right. You know, you guys know the Beast, right? He's been up to
the Beast.
Beast? Yeah. You know the Beast.
I don't think we've seen the Beast.
Beast is a very large man. I think he's been at Bruce City Wrestling. I don't know. Anyways, the Beast and I were doing a show. It was a rap and wrestling show. Sure, the story was we all got there like it was a normal wrestling day. Got there early. Come to find out, show didn't even start till like 10 o'clock at night. Me and Beast didn't go on. We were the main event. We didn't go on to wrestle till almost midnight. By that time, we were so pissed off we didn't care to wrestle. Went out, did like a 1-2-3 type match. Fans boo, boo, boo. They started throwing money into the ring because they wanted us to continue. I walked out. I grabbed the money. I said, you all are stupid. And I walked out. I would probably take the PlayStation and walk away. Oh, there was total, you know, F you Max Holiday chance. It was great. I mean, I had to split the tips, but still, that was probably one of my favorite stories.
That is an excellent, excellent story.
To bring a PlayStation for one of the new PlayStations, Xbox to this match, and I guarantee it will not get used.
Well, it will get used.
Oh, well, yeah, not in the fashion you're
playing. Not during the match, though.
For what it was intended for, at the champ's house.
Exactly, at the champ's house, because I'm going to walk out and I'm going to take
it. Somebody to bring the PlayStation 4 unused. I want someone else to bring a flat-screen television.
Right. How come the main event isn't going on? I don't know. They're playing PlayStation in the back. What do you want me to do?
It's 2-minute warning here on Madden, and I got to finish my game.
Right? Oh.
Main event will be starting just a bit late.
Sorry, you're tied right now.
We're going into overtime, folks. Stall.
Yeah, stall. I love
it. Before we get to talking about the War Games in a Steel Cage match, which you will be participating in, and I'm really looking forward to that match, a whole lot of pandemonium going to be happening there. Give us your take on Frank getting back in the ring, Mr. DeFalco taking on Sierra, and what's kind of the vibe in the locker room right now?
Personally, I'm excited to see it. With everything that's happened between Sierra and Frank over the last year, actually longer than it feels like, I don't know, this has all been one big blur to me. It's kind of interesting to watch that relationship deteriorate and turn into what it is now. Teacher and student, I mean, you can't get much better than that, especially when you're dealing with a male and a female and such of Sierra and Frankie. Frankie getting back into the ring, I mean, that's a huge risk, period. I mean, Frankie's not a spring chicken anymore. So there is that factor. I mean, I'd say it to his face. It's nothing I wouldn't say to his face, and not no disrespect to him. But, I mean, that's something to worry about. Sierra is not even at her prime. You know, she's just barely touching the crest of her wrestling career. And so I don't know, man. This is it's going to be an interesting fight. And I say, I use the word fight because this is no way it's going to be a wrestling match with, what has transpired over the months, year between these two. So this is going to be one. I don't think this is going to be one that people are going to be cheering a lot in as much as they're going to be cringing in. Yeah, and that's before. And I'm only assuming this match is happening before the cage match. I mean, maybe not. I don't know. I don't know how it's all planned out, how it's worked. But I got a feeling this is going to be one of those matches where people are just going to sit there and it's going to be a more of a disbelief, cringy type of match. Like, wow. I got a feeling that Frankie's just going to – he's finally going to let her have it, so – but there's a lot of factors to look at in the match, and it's scary, but it's exciting. And, I mean, honestly, I'm looking forward to it.
We're looking forward to the entire event. That's this Friday, January 12th, at the Columbus Club of West Dallas, 1800 South 92nd Street. For your tickets, limited they are left, go to Bruce City Wrestling 1. That's Bruce City Wrestling, the number one, BruceCityWrestling1.com. DP, tapping that pen by his mouth tells me he has some kind of question. Or the champ.
No, not necessarily, but I'm just really excited for the next topic, which I think is going to be the War Games match itself, which I think everybody's looking forward to. You're talking just a mass of humanity in that ring. I know we talked to Frank, they're restructuring the ring, they're restructuring the cage. This should be absolutely insane. Those are some big boys that are going to be in that match, and women, that are going to be part of this whole thing, so... What are you thinking before having to step into this match?
Man, there's I've been thinking about this match now for the last 2 weeks. Ever since the first of the year hit, we stopped partying. This was the first thing that's been on my mind. A lot of these guys have kind of eased their way back into wrestling for 2018. This is my first match for 2018. This is my first cage match. And to be in there with all of these men and ladies, it's exciting. It's nerve-wracking. I mean, there's so many things that are going through my head, especially being the first time in a cage, the first time it's 10 of us in there, war game style. Anything can happen. I'm excited. I'm looking forward to finally being able to get revenge on the heathens for what's transpired over the last year. And if everything goes according to plan, which we know it won't, never does. I think that once and for all, we can finally put a stop to the rampage that the heathens have been on through Bruce City Wrestling. There's just a lot. There's a lot in this match. And for me, there's a lot. This is the one-year anniversary of winning the Bruce City Wrestling Heavyweight Championship. This is my second Rise to Honor. This is my first cage match. This is my first. There's so many firsts here for me on top of everything else that's going on. I'm a ball of tension right now. I can't even explain it. So I'm looking forward to it. First match out the gate, a War Games steel cage match. 10 guys. It's going to be insane.
And the heathens have certainly put you through hell from everything we've been through at Bruce City Wrestling, you know, in the last few months and everything, costing you match after match and everything. And, you know, you guys, the Saints coming together to try and put an end to these heathens should be, and culminating with this match is pretty awesome.
Luckily, I have been able to hold on to the title. I don't know. Do you guys know who the longest reigning BCW heavyweight champ is?
I do not.
I'm gonna guess.
Guys, want to conversate? I can try. Do you know that already?
I have no clue.
Oh, okay. I thought you saying that meant that you were the longest one. I mean, you've held it for a year.
I've held it for a year straight. I know when I took it off of Sean, I believe he had it for about 11 months at the time.
That's right. He won it in March or April.
He won it in March. So you were a longer reigning champion.
Got him by a month right now.
Outside of that, I really don't know. I know the lineage of the title. I just don't know how long people held the title for. So, but
yeah, I would say you got to be up there somewhere on the near the top of the list.
Yeah, this Rise to Honor will be the 1 year anniversary of me. I actually had something pop up in my Facebook memories, if you will, of last year's Rise to Honor. And it was pretty interesting because I was actually in a match. I mean, the people that were in that match was me, Kahaga, Sean Priest, if I'm not mistaken, Brandon Blaze.
Jared Jax was in there, wasn't he?
I think it might have been Jared Jax too, yeah.
Yep. And that was...
So that's... Was there someone else too, maybe? Oh, I don't know. Maybe we should go look. I don't know. I just know that last year this time, I was all kinds of giddy because I was less than a year. I was 6 months in. I was 6 months into Bruce City. So I'm a year and a half in here. And a year that's been as the heavyweight champion. So
that's pretty amazing.
It's been a wild ride for me up in with Bruce City. And hopefully 2018, you know, just continue on with this wild and crazy ride. I can't wait for the summer. I can't wait for the warmer weather to hit because of all the stuff that we do up here or with Bruce City. So up here, I'm not even up there.
Close enough.
I feel like I should have a summer home in Wisconsin. It's kind of weird.
won't be much of a summer home as far as, you know, getting out of the weather or anything, you know.
I'll use the term loosely, but yeah. I mean, I more or less need a room.
You need a residence.
Well, 14 months dysfunction.
Ooh, 14 months.
From what I'm seeing here, it was back in 2006. He held it from March 2006 till 2007 May. That's 14 months. So, hey, We'd love to see you become the longest reigning Bruce City Wrestling heavyweight champion of all time. That's for sure. You have the support of the DWI podcast.
I appreciate that. I appreciate it. So we're looking at, so then from what you found, then dysfunction, we'll say. I'm going to find out Friday for sure.
Yep. You can find it. You can find it by basically going through and going BCW title history. I'll keep this up. And when we're done, I will direct message you the link to this page.
Fair enough. Then we go through and find out. But even so, if it came down that, you know, it was dysfunction has it for 14 months and I lose it next month, still, that's pretty cool in my opinion. 13 months. Yeah, I'm just saying. I'm rambling a while. Sorry.
Oh, you're thinking about history already.
All right, let's go. Yeah, March. See that. He's counting down the days till March now.
I have to make it to the summer. I got to make it to the summer.
And like you said, the summer's the big time. There's all those different, you know, summer fests and state fair and all the different events that Bruce City does out in the different festivals around Milwaukee. There's always something going on.
Well, I'm excited about it.
Before we let you go, champ, don't want to take up too much of your time. I know you got some game planning to do for Friday. Tell everybody where they can find you. All over social media.
Well, you can find me on Twitter at Holiday Special, on Instagram, Max Holiday. Facebook is facebook.com/TheMaxHoliday. And I believe that's all I'm on. If there's anything else, just Google me.
he's on the Google machine.
I think I am.
I would imagine a man of your significance and championship caliber should be all over the Googleplex.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, but definitely Facebook is the Max Holiday and Twitter at Holiday Special. Those are the two main ones that I frequent, and Instagram, Max Holiday. So those three.
And then tell everybody about the Hot Pod and the Morning After podcast.
The Hot Pod is coming back next Monday, our first show of 2018. What's in store? I don't know, because we really shoot them all from the hip. We really don't plan much out unless it's a special guest coming in. But we're kicking that back off next Monday at 10:15 Central Standard. Depends when Raw ends, 10:30. I mean, it all varies. The Morning After will be back, I believe, this Sunday. When me and Rian will sit down, we'll talk about the weekend that we just had where find out what happened with me Friday, find out what happened with me on Saturday. Those actually, both of those kick off as of Sunday and Monday. So those will be back. You can find those on Facebook. The Morning After is on my Facebook, The Max Holiday, and Hot Pod is facebook.com/TheHotPod.
Awesome. Champ, we always appreciate the time. We always have a great time with you. We will see you Friday. We got our tickets already. Everybody go to BruceCityWrestling1.com. Last words to all your fans and the Bruce City Wrestling fans.
I cannot wait to see each and every one of you guys out on Friday. Oh, my God. Friday. Here we go. By the way, Friday, I will have T-shirts, pictures, stickers. I got stuff for sale. Come buy some. I got like 18 illegitimate children and one legitimate one to take care of. So help brother out.
He's got kids.
Yeah. Other than that, I can't wait to see everybody on Friday. Kick off the 2018 wrestling year with Bruce City Wrestling in a 10-man war game steel cage match. I'm excited. I can't wait to see everybody come out, watch us finally, once and for all, put the heathens in their place.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bruce City Wrestling World Heavyweight Champion, Max Holiday. Champ, you're the best. Thanks again.
Aw, shucks, guys.
We'll see you Friday, brother.
He was big and bent and gray and old, and I looked at him and my blood ran cold, and I said, "My name is Sue. How do you do? Now you gonna die?" Yeah, that's what I told him. Well, I hit him hard right between the eyes, and he went down, but to my surprise, come up with a knife and cut off a piece of my ear. But I busted a chair right across his teeth.